Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
Praise God. Amen. So we are going to pick up on the body of Christ message and try to, I don't know if we'll be able to close it, but we'll try to get close to closing it out. So let's pray, and then we'll get into it. Father, we thank you for the word. It's your word that brings life. It's your word that brings the truth, the word that brings understanding. And it also is also the way that you set before us. So, Lord, I pray for insight. I pray for the words to speak so that we can understand what it is that you're saying to us, and that you would just give us ears to hear and a heart to understand and a will to do the things that you've called us to do at this time. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Last time we were talking about, or we ended about, cultures and races. And I think we have to be careful that we don't fall into the world's system of looking at people on the outward appearance. Amen. The Bible clearly says that man looks on the outward man, people, but God looks where? On the heart. That was that passage comes from when Samuel went to anoint David as the king, and Samuel saw Saul's David's dad's name? Jesse's first son. He said, oh, this must be him. He says, no, that's not him. He says, I've rejected him. He says, because man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. So he went through all of Jesse's sons, and Jesse didn't even call David, or David was busy. I don't know which one it was. And Samuel said, wait a minute, God rejected all these sons. I said, well, do you have any other son? And he said, yeah, he's out there tending the sheep. He said, well, call him in. We can't eat till he comes. And as soon as he come, God spoke to Samuel, said, this is the one. And we have to be careful that we see as God sees. And I told you there in God's economy, there's really Jews and there's Gentiles. But in his plan, it was supposed to be moved into one new man. Jew and Gentile together. Amen? So in order to do that, we have to put aside everything that the world tries to set up as barriers to unity and work with the unity that God has provided, which is his word. Righteousness is the uniting factor. Amen? Now, what do I mean by that? Righteousness, because righteousness knows no tradition or boundary. It is the things that are right. Things that are right are always right, no matter what culture you're in. Amen? So that's where we left off. So we want to talk about what the grown-up church or the grown-up body of Christ looks like. So as we move from division, God's maturing factor is that you put aside all dividing things and be united in him. Amen? So the first thing we want to look at is God wants all of us to get to the place, and this is where we all have to get to. This is where we're all going, is that we are individually Spirit-led people. What does that mean? That means, that doesn't mean you don't need the church, because this is, remember, we're talking about unity. It doesn't mean you have to not be taught by a pastor, apostle, prophet, evangelist, teacher, whatever. But at some point, God wants us to be individually Spirit-led people. Meaning that you can hear from God by yourself and know it's God speaking to you and follow his direction. That is really the purpose of the church, is to, and we read it in Ephesians 4:11. If you want to go back, let's go back and let's read it again. But this is a passage most of us have heard, read, and if we've read the Bible any time, for any amount of time, we've seen this. But it says, and he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure and stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into the head, into him who is the head, Christ, for whom the whole body is joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. And then I want to go to Hebrews chapter 5, and this is, he's going through this teaching, and then he kind of makes a break in this, and he says in verse 11, it says, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. So he's talking to the people he's teaching. And he says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, everybody say teachers. Say teachers. Say, I'm supposed to be a teacher. This is what I'm talking about. Individual, Spirit-led people. At some point, we don't always have to be taught, where you're always going to learn. Let's be careful about that, because then you go, somebody gets the other extreme and say, well, I don't need no teaching. But we'll get to that in a minute. But it says, where you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. So he's calling them what? Babies. Everybody say it. Babies. Babies need milk. He says, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And remember that the Bible is really not written in chapters, but it is for our sake, so that it divides the thoughts. But 6 takes it a little further. He says, therefore, leaving the discussion of elementary principles of Christ. Elementary is like what? We have what kind of schools will we have? We have kindergarten, preschool, elementary school, right? Middle school, and then high school, then college. So elementary is down pretty low, right? So he's telling us, stop stumbling over the elementary things, elementary principles of Christ. Let us go to perfection. There's that word perfection, and I pushed a little note on my Bible that says maturity. Let us go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God, or the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. So he's saying, let's move up from these elementary things and move on to the more spiritual or deeper things, or the more solid food, as he uses in the earlier example, to a so that we can grow up in the things of God. So God wants and has always wanted an individual spirit-led people. Amen? Let's go to chapter 20, and look at this in the Old Testament. Let's go to Exodus 20 and then go to Deuteronomy 4, 5 through 14. So that Exodus 20 is the new, that's the Ten Commandments chapter. So we're not going to go through the Ten Commandments. But we're not going to go through every one of them. But remember, this is God speaking. So he's trying to tell these people what he wants them to do. So the Ten Commandments is to the individuals to understand what God's requirements were. Now, he's teaching them this truth, and so all he wants you to do is what? Obey it, right? So now that you know, you can't say anymore that, well, I didn't know adultery was wrong. I didn't know murder was wrong. I didn't know I was supposed to honor my father and my mother. I didn't know I wasn't supposed to steal. I didn't know I wasn't supposed to bear false witness or lie against my neighbor or covet my neighbor's property or wife, or I didn't know that. Now you know he wants you to do. And that's the way the scripture works throughout time. He tells you the truth, and now you have to do the truth. Amen? Amen. So he gave this teaching to the children of Israel, and then just a few days later, they were creating a new idol to worship. When Moses was on the mountain, they said, well, we're not sure where Moses, what does that have to do with anything? I told you, don't worship any other god before me. What does Moses not being here have to do with that? You see that? That was their excuse, but it wasn't an excuse. And that's why they were judged for it, because they knew they weren't supposed to do it. So God has always, let's go to Deuteronomy 5, what did I say, 5, 4? No, 4, 5, 4, chapter 5, verse 14. Say an individual, spirit-led life. 4, 5 through What did I say? 4, 5 through 14. So let's look at this. It says, surely I have taught you statutes, judgments, and judgments, just as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should act according to them in the land which you go to possess. Notice he didn't say hear them. He said what? Act or do according to them. Therefore, be careful to observe. Everybody say observe. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples who will hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has God so near to it as the Lord is to us, for whatever reason we may call upon him? And what great nation is there that has such statutes and righteous judgments as are in all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself. Notice that he's telling, these are individuals he's talking to. And then he tells them later on, teach it to your children. But did the children of Israel, they never listened to this instruction. God has always wanted a individually spirit-led people. Now you might say, well, the spirit hadn't fallen in the Old Testament. That's true. On the whole congregation, but God still allowed his spirit to fill individuals. And if you wanted it, you could get it. Amen? Amen. So If we keep going, let's go down a little. Only take heed to yourself, diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren, especially concerning the day you stood before the Lord your God in Horeb, when the Lord said to me, gather the people to me, and I will let them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children. In order to teach something, you have to know something, right? That's what I said, going back to Hebrews. When you should be a teacher, they refused to be teachers, and they had to be taught over and over and over again. So God wants has always wanted a spirit-led people to grow up and mature in the things of God. And then let's look at this other passage that talks about the anointing. And it says there's an anointing that is given that you need not anyone teach you. Let's read it. 1 John 2, 20 and 27. Now this is, sometimes it's scary to tell some people some things because then they go to all the other extreme. The other extreme is I don't need nobody. I ain't listening to nobody because the Holy Spirit is here to teach me, right? But that's not, whenever you got that attitude, you know that's the wrong attitude. Amen? But look what it does say. It says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things, and I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. And then you jump down to 27. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. So if you read that in the flesh, you say, oh, well, God is teaching me. God himself is teaching me. So I don't need a pastor. I don't need an apostle. I don't need a prophet or evangelist or a teacher. The Holy Spirit was going to teach me. Isn't that what it says? But that's the wrong attitude. Because you're always supposed to be teachable, no matter who's teaching you. Amen? But you have a teacher who can confirm the teaching that you hear in your own personal relationship. That's how we discern between truth and a lie. Because how many know there's all sorts of teaching out there? But you have to learn to discern between the right and the wrong, the good and the bad, the not for me right now, the for me right now, and I'm getting to it right now. All that is discernment, and the Spirit teaches you those things. But when you get right down to it, it's him, the Spirit, who teaches us, instructs us, directs us, leads us into so that we follow the right path of teaching, so that we're not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. If you look at the seven churches that were in the book of Revelation and just listen to what Jesus said that some of them were doing, they were not listening to the Spirit that was given to them as a teacher. The Bible says of the, you know, they talk about Jezebel, and they said that she's leading them into fornication, or they're worshiping idols, or they've lost their first love, or they become self-sufficient. Was the church in Laodicea? They were rich, or thought they were rich, and therefore they didn't need anything. But Jesus says, no. You're not rich. You may have possessions, but you're not rich. And so they got to the place where they wouldn't listen to the teacher who was given to them in their hearts. Amen? And so as we grow in the body, God wants to form us into an individual, spirit-led person that also knows how to keep connected to the body as a whole. Because even though we're individually Spirit-led, we're not mavericks that just roam the earth and just do what you want to do. Because the Bible says that not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as some do. Well, what does that mean? That means the church has to come together. Even though we are led by the Spirit, now obviously though, everybody is not at the same level, right? I mean, some have to be taught the elementary things still. Some have to be taught the next step, if you want to say high school level. Some have to get into college level. But some of us are in the graduate program and therefore have to be taught graduate level work or life work, because you got to get out of school at some point. And so as we grow in each phase, we still need the church to help us. And if you feel, you know, a lot of people get to the place where I've read the Bible and I've gone to church and I don't really need to go to church. Okay, now at this point, you should be teaching somebody then. That's where you should be become a teacher. If you feel that you've accomplished so much or achieved so much knowledge that you don't need to hear sermons anymore, now you need to be a teacher. And that's what Hebrews said. You need to become a teacher. What is a teacher? You mean you get a class? Yes, that might mean you get a class, but at least you're teaching people one-on-one. You're discipling people. And your life is such that it speaks to the ability to disciple people. In other words, you're not saying, I know all this stuff, and then you're not living any of it, because then you don't know it. Amen? Because the Bible constantly says, don't be a hearer of the word, but be a doer of the word. So if you're saying, well, I know the Bible, and I know this, and I know that, but then you're not living it, then you don't know it, because you're not a doer of it. And you said, and the Bible says, he that is a hearer and not a doer does what? Deceives themselves. Okay? So they haven't gotten it. And that's where we have most so-called people that, oh, now I read the Bible. I've been to church so many times. I heard so many sermons. I don't need to go to church. Well, now they got the wrong attitude, because they've self-deceived themselves to thinking that they've accomplished some knowledge base. But this is not a knowledge-based test. This is a doer test. You're tested on what you do, not what you just know. Amen? So as we grow into the body, he wants individual Spirit-led people that will allow the Spirit of God to teach in addition to the teaching that they're exposed to in the body of Christ as a whole. If true teaching is being done in the church, and that it is, then the Spirit will teach you through that teaching and enhance what you know from what you hear. I'm of the opinion that you can learn from any preacher, even if you don't agree with them, if you've got the right heart. But if you can't get the right heart about that preacher, it's best not to listen to him. Meaning that, I don't believe that, or I don't think that's right, or I don't think that's this. And if you're doing more of that, then don't listen, because you're not getting anything. Every time he's speaking or she's speaking, you're closing the door to what they're saying. So close that, turn that off, and don't listen. Find somebody that you can listen to. Because all you're doing is becoming a negative, what do they call the children of Israel in the desert? Always murmuring. You're murmuring. And it's best you not murmur. If that's what you're doing, shut it off. Find somebody else. Amen? Amen. Because you're not doing yourself any good, because murmurers were not good people in the scriptures. You don't want to be a murmurer. Amen? And the next thing we want to look at, so where God wants individual Spirit-led people that are never without connection. Say ever, never without connection. We're talking a body here. my fingers don't get strong enough to where they say I can jump off the hand now because I can handle it. I don't need my thumb. I could just sever myself and I just walk across the floor like this and I can work my, I can support. No, yeah, your body doesn't talk like that, right? I mean, your foot doesn't say, all right, I'm old enough now, I'm mature enough, cut me off so I can survive on my own. Your body doesn't talk like that, but the church people do. People talk like that. Well, I don't need church because, you know, I'm on a spiritual journey and most people don't understand me. Have you heard people say stuff like that? Yes, you have. You know you have. They're on the wrong spiritual journey. Because God's spiritual journey doesn't, it's, remember, we're in a body, doesn't say, okay, you're going, I'm taking you on a spiritual journey, so you're going to leave the body now, and you're no longer going to be a, that's not God. So if you hear that kind of talk, where I have to disconnect myself, now don't get me wrong, there may be a season where you are alone to hear from God, but after the season, you have to come back and be reconnected. Amen? Because if you don't, then the season has failed because you've been deceived in that season. Because the purpose to go away to hear from God is not to hear God so that you can just do what your own thing. It's to hear God so that the church might be built up by what God is telling you. Amen? That's always God's plan. So when people start trying to divide and I say, well, I'm just on a higher spiritual plane than most Christians. You're lying to yourself. You are, the devil has deceived you into believing a lie. Let's look at what some of the church folk did in Paul's day. And I think we talked about this briefly, but let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 10 through 13, and then 3, 1 through 8. And see, people are prone to find cliques. People are prone to that. We move to cliques. Now, what is a clique? A clique, you know, it's a small group, usually, is what it refers to. But it's a natural inclination that we have because we have something in common with this group. Just like in schools, you know, the people that lived in the same neighborhood usually were friends, right? I mean, that's just a natural thing. And I used to say this when I used to teach at Northwest College. I said, if I started a business, it would be natural for me to hire my friends. Am I right? That's a natural inclination. You go to the ones you know. But in the church, even though you may go to the ones you know, you don't exclude the ones you don't know. And that's what we have to always be careful of. But let's look at 1:10. It says, now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of the Lord, our name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. What is that? And that there be no divisions among you. Uh-oh. So speak the same thing, and there be no divisions, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or Peter, or I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? And so here we have a clique forming. The Paul clique, the Peter clique, the what else? Who was the other guy? Apollos clique. And then the Christ clique. Now, that's the highest one. You know, I don't know about Peter, Paul, and but I'm with Christ. So now he said, but see, what did he call that? It may be a natural inclination, but he said that's causing division. Because you're trying to say, I'm with Peter because Peter is the head of the church. Jesus said it. Didn't y'all read that? He said, I'll make you the head. And then Paul is the head of the Gentiles. So I'm with Paul because I'm a... No, see, there's the problem. You're trying to align yourself for no reason so that you can separate yourself from other people. Back to tradition, division, and disunity. And Paul said, we don't do stuff like that. That's not the purpose of that. Us individually teaching you was not to convert you over to our group. And chapter 3 is the same thing, just gone a little further. He says 3 verse 1 through 8. He says, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as carnal. So notice, now he takes us to what it really is. He calls the division carnal or fleshly, and he's going to use the word we've already used. I couldn't speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to, what does that word say? Everybody say it out loud. Babes. So you're a baby when you start clicking. Okay? When you're trying to exclude groups, people from your group, the Bible calls you a baby. How many of us still want to be baby? Nobody wants to be a baby, right? Even babies don't even want to be babies. They say, oh, stop being a baby. I'm not a baby. As they cry, I'm not a baby. I fed you with milk, not with solid food, for until now you are not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able. For you are still carnal, for where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? So he's going back to what we were talking about. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one. Everybody say one. So there is no Apollos and Paul church. It's the body. And so that's what Paul's trying to keep us on. So as you're a spirit-led individual believer, you're always connected and you're never divisive. Amen? We have so many denominations because, well, some of it was legitimate. Let me just be honest. Some of the denominational formation was legitimate because of what was going on in the 15th and 1400s after Christ because of all the lack of truth that was in the church at that time. So you had all the reformations after Luther. So you had the Baptists come in to play, which their move was, well, we don't believe in just sprinkling. We believe in baptizing folk, putting them under. So they broke off. And then there's all these other groups broke off. So some of it was legitimate, but it was it was spirit-led, but it became carnal because it became divisive. Are you with me in that? Because now groups are, I won't talk to this group because they believe this, or I don't talk to that group because, you know, they don't speak in tongues, and I don't talk to that group because they don't baptize in Jesus' name only, and I don't talk to that group because they don't baptize in the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I don't talk to, see, that's, we're carnal now. And so all that is just foolishness for the devil to keep us at each other instead of at him. Because that's really the whole point. You keep fighting among yourselves. You ain't got time to cast out devils because the devil is in you. Are you with me here? So we're supposed to be spirit-led. The proper growth process is to be spirit-led individual believers, but always connected, always loving, always going about trying to keep the church together and not trying to find a reason to separate. That's what we're supposed to do. That's why when I have an opportunity to go with or be with other pastors, I try to take advantage of that opportunity. I go to a prayer meeting on first Friday of the month with a group of South End pastors. And I said, well, can't no harm come in praying, right? And some of them don't speak in tongues. But I'm not going to say, I ain't going. Them folks don't even know how to pray. I got an attitude then, right? So I got to check myself. I don't care if they speak in tongues. They don't have to hear me speak in tongues. It don't matter if they speak in tongues. We're trying to pray that God pour out his spirit on the south end of Seattle. And if we can all agree with that, the Bible says that God would do it. Amen. And that's the point. I don't care if we were praying in tongues. It don't matter. Long as we're praying in agreement. So we have to put aside, and there's Lutherans, there's Calvinists in this group, you know, and day to day I probably wouldn't agree with them, but doesn't matter. There are some things I can agree with, and that is, God, pour out your spirit on the south end of Seattle. We need you, oh God, to change this community. And so I can get with that. And so our denomination doesn't matter. Unity matters. Because the devil doesn't really care what denomination you belong to. He just doesn't want you to work in the works of God. And that's the point. Let me see if there's anything else, because I know we're getting late. I know we started late, too. So we have to be careful. Because an immature church wants to make alliances and allegiances with people groups to exclude other believers. And we're not able to be led by the Spirit as long as we go after our own desires. Our desires are legitimate, most of them, not all, but most. But they still have to be filtered by the Spirit. So if I want to be a lawyer, I have to ask the Holy Spirit, is this what you want me to be? And that's what I did in my life. And I wasn't a pastor. I was just a regular old believer. I said, God, if I want to be a lawyer, but if this is not what you want me to do, then, you know, just lead me into a different direction. And according to him, he wanted me to be a lawyer also, so I became a lawyer. But I couldn't then take what I thought was my desire and then use it for my own choice. I have to still be led by God as a lawyer, so that I can be the best lawyer that God would have me to be. So I had to come up with ways to treat people. I have to treat people the way God would have me to treat people. When I want to yell at people, I can't yell at people. When people send me stupid emails, I don't respond, although I do respond. And then he said, don't you send that. I said, yeah, you're right. I erased it. And then I just say, yes, thank you. Yes, we should all do that. Don't hit the send button. You can type it. And I said, yeah, this person, I'm gonna tell them something. And don't you dare send that. Okay. Delete it. Yes, thank you. And send that. Because you gotta represent God. When you ask God to lead you and he's leading you, you gotta represent him in everything you're doing. Everything you're doing, everything you say. That's why it was such an embarrassment when my checking account was so bad that they admonished me for not keeping my checkbook right, the bar association I'm talking about. Now, I could blame it on my client's bounced check because it was her that did it, but had my account been okay, I wouldn't have got in trouble. So I had to back off and stop being on my high heart. Well, if she had money in the account, I wouldn't have got the bar, wouldn't have known. Yes, that's true. But had my own business been right, I wouldn't have gotten any further than that. So I had to spend 2 years on probation to make sure my account balanced. Now, how embarrassing, how humbling was that? I had to send it to him every quarter. I said, I can subtract, I can add, I can multiply, I can divide. I don't need to send it to you. And I had to pay a fine for it. Because I had to humble myself to get myself out of that mess. I had to take ownership of what I did, not what they did. And that's what got me out of the mess that I got in. Amen? And I'm telling you this because, and you know, I don't tell everybody this stuff. But I'm telling you this because I'm a human being too. I make mistakes too. And I try to blame other people for the mistakes that I made. And I have to be careful not to do that because that creates division. Amen? All right, I'm going to unplug it now, and we'll talk. We'll try to finish this later. So let's stand. But individual spirit-led people, that's what we've been praying about. That's why we've been asking God to use us to see God's power manifested, to lay hands on the sick, to see the scripture we're praying when we talk about praying for the sick is that God would confirm his word with signs following. That's the scripture we pray. And I pray that every night. I say, God, pour out your spirit, save people, and confirm your word with signs, wonders, and miracles. And that's what we should pray. And that's what God, you should ask God to help you be an instrument where you can be confirmed. God can use you to confirm his word. Amen? That's being a mature, spirit-led believer. Because when you are willing to step out there and put yourself by faith and pray for somebody and see God move, you've grown to the place where your personal identity is now tied up into his. Amen? Amen. I hope you got that. Father, we thank you for your word. We just pray that you would make us all individual spirit-led people as you planned to do from the beginning. This was your goal. This was your purpose, that we would be led by you in everything we do. And so, Lord, we still are at the stage where we're trying to get there. No, we're not perfect, but please help us to be like you in everything that we say, everything we do. Forgive us for falling short. Forgive us for not being where we should always be or doing what we should always do or saying what we should say. And I just pray that you would do in us what your plan, what you plan to do all along is to grow us up in you. And I pray for each one of us, Lord. I pray for you to touch our hearts, our minds, and keep us encouraged. Because our encouragement doesn't come from our circumstance, but it comes from you. Your word says that David, when they all turned against him, encouraged himself in you. So help us to remember when we become discouraged to be able to disencourage ourselves in you, meaning that we remember what you've done for us. We remember how you've used us. We remember what you've brought us out of, how you healed us in the past. We remember these things, and we won't forget them, and that will keep us encouraged. So thank you for your word. Thank you for continuing to speak to us. In Jesus' mighty name, and everyone say.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the word of God.